Tonight we're going to talk about two inyanim. And they are the, what's called the Dalet Chiyos, as well as the Atbash. And we're going to just start with Dalet Chiyos for a moment, just to give you the first one, and then that's kind of a lead-in to the second issue of the... It's not really, it's a lead-in to one Nakuda we're going to talk about. What I mean is as follows. There are four Chiyos, which means there are four times we push off Rosh Hashanah. What does that mean? That means that really Rosh Hashanah should have been on a certain day, but we push it off to a later day. The most famous of those Chiyos is called Lo Adu Rosh, which means Rosh Hashanah cannot fall out, very famous rule, cannot fall out on a Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. Now that we've learned about the Maalad, this rule has a much deeper meaning. And that is normally before we have an understanding of the calendar, we say, okay, Rosh Hashanah can't be Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. Chazal made it that doesn't happen. And we'll get to talk about in a moment why. But now what it really means is much more significant, is that really Rosh Hashanah should have been on a Sunday. If let's say the Maalad is on Sunday at 10 a.m., then really Rosh Hashanah should have been on a Sunday. Chazal said this rule, Le'adu Raish, that means Rosh Hashanah cannot be on a Sunday, we push off Rosh Hashanah to Monday. This rule means that if the Maalad of Tishrei occurs on a Wednesday, Rosh Hashanah should have been on a Wednesday, but instead we push it off to Thursday. Va means Rosh Hashanah should have been at the Maalad on a Friday, Rosh Hashanah should have been on a Friday, but was pushed off to a Shabbos. So that's really what this rule means. Now, put this tree aside for a moment, and I want to talk about the Atbash. And that is, the Atbash can be found on page 5, in figure 13, the Atbash. What that means is as follows, and we quickly said this last time, I want to elaborate on it a little bit this time. As we know, Atbash is used for gematrias and other assorted Haparos, L'chachma, L'tayra, Dalet Hei Avav, we have Aleph, and backwards is tough, and if you go backwards, you'll see that we go Tzadi, Kuf, Reishin, Tough. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm already here. Tzadi, Pei, I'm sorry. Pei, Tzadi, Kuf, Reishin, and Tough. What that means is, this is just a simon. It's a simon dover. And what that means is the Torah actually brings this down. And what this means is that if you take the day of the week of Pesach, okay, so let's assume this year Pesach was on a Thursday, okay, so then that is a simon that Tough will also be on Thursday. Tough is Tisha B'Av. Bays is on a Friday. That means that it was the same day of the week as Shavuos. Shavuos was on a Friday. Gimel is Reish. So this year, Gimel was a Shabbos. So that's going to be Rosh Hashanah. Dalet is the fourth day of Pesach, which this year was on a Sunday. Is the same day where Messiah and Kriyas HaTorah, which is, of course, Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah this year is on a Sunday. Hey is Keneged Tzadi, which is Tzayim HaKippurim. It's also saying Medallia works too. Okay, so this year Yom Kippur is a Monday. Now it's not the Hebrew year, it's the upcoming one. It actually works out in the English year. In other words, Pesach of Tavshin Samach Vav was on a Monday, right? The fifth day of Pesach, Tavshin Samach Vav was on a Monday. That means Yom Kippur, the upcoming Yom Kippur of Tavshin Samach Zion, will also be on a Monday, which is really 2006. It works very nice. And finally, Vav is the same day of the week as Purim, and they note that that's the previous Purim. So in other words, it's not a perfect simon, because usually you want a simon to tell me, oh, let me look at Pesach and I'll know what's gonna happen coming up. By the case of Purim, it's the previous Purim, and therefore that's Vav means the sixth day of Pesach is the same day of the week as Purim, which was a Tuesday. Now this will work because the number of days between Rish Chodesh Adar, Hasamach L'Nisan, and which means that we'll say the beginning of Adar and the end of Cheshvan are going to be uniform in any given year. And therefore, this all works out. In other words, there's the same number of days between Pesach and Tisha B'Av. They happen to come out on the same day of the week. That we can elaborate on the Yonah Hashkafa of the connections between these two. In fact, as we know, the minig to eat Pesach night at the Seder, the egg, the minig is because Tisha B'Av is going to be that night of the week. There's a lot of significance to that. But Pashup Shad is due to the Atbash. When you're sitting at the Seder table this year on a Wednesday night, you'll know that in 16 weeks, you're going to be sitting, if the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, you're going to be sitting on the floor saying Eicha. Right? And therefore, that is going to be a constant amount of days. So all of these days fit in because Adar is always 30 days, and Adar is always 29 days, and Nisan is always 30 days, and all of that. So all this fits in like a glove, which means that really this chart will also work for any of the other days of the week that Pesach could fall out on. And that is that we have Thursday, Friday. Some years, Pesach is on a Sunday. If Pesach is on a Sunday, you just fill in here. Shavuos is on a Monday. Rosh Hashanah is on a Tuesday. Sukkot is on a Wednesday. Yom Kippur is on a Thursday. And Purim is on a Friday. That's why you will note that those years, those rare years, and we're going to mention in a moment why it's not so frequent, those not so common years when Erev Pesach is on a Shabbos, because Pesach is on a Sunday, that's the same year that Purim is on a Friday. That's standard. That's always going to be the same. Pesach can also be on a Tuesday, so then your chart is going to look like this. Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday. If Pesach is on a Tuesday, then Shavuos is a Wednesday, and Rosh Hashanah is on a Thursday, and Simchas Torah is a Friday, Yom Kippur Shabbos, Purim is a Sunday. And finally, Tisha B'Av is on a, Pesach is on a, this year Shabbos, that means Tisha B'Av will be Shabbos, pushed off to Sunday, of course, and then I have Shavuos is on a Sunday, and Rosh Hashanah is on a Monday, and Chrisa Tair is on a Tuesday, and Yom Kippur is on a Wednesday, and Purim is on a Thursday. Now, these, because of the rule of Le'adu Radish, okay, you will never have the following scenarios. You will never have, let me just erase it, but these are the four types of years you'll have. Because there are three types of years you'll never have. You will never have Rosh Hashanah on a Sunday. You will never have Rosh Hashanah on a Wednesday, and you'll never have Rosh Hashanah on a Friday. Okay, now let me make that a little bit bigger. These are the years you'll never have. You'll never have Rosh Hashanah on a Sunday. Now, you can fill in the blanks here as well with this Atbash chart. And you can say, therefore, Shavuos will never be on a Shabbos. And therefore, Tisha B'Av will never be on a Friday. The first day of Pesach will never be on a Friday. Simchas Torah will never be on a Monday. Yom Kippur will never be on a Tuesday. Purim will never be on a Wednesday. Because all this fits into place. And in fact, if your birthday falls out anywhere between Rosh Chodesh Adar and the end of Cheshvan, Rosh Chodesh Kislev, you can really plug your day into any one of these days. Now, of course, it's the seventh day of Pesach, right? Which the Torah brings no simon for. And therefore, technically, that means the seventh day of Pesach will never be on a Thursday. Now let's fill this in. Rosh Hashanah can never be on a Wednesday. So that means Shavuos will never be on a Tuesday. Tisha B'Av will never be on a Monday. And let's fill this in for completion. It's a Thursday, Friday. Yom Kippur is never on a Friday. And Purim is never on a Shabbos. And finally, you put Rosh Hashanah here is on a Friday. So that means Shavuos is never on a Thursday. And Pesach is never on a Wednesday, which leads us to another rule, which says that Pesach is never on a Monday, it's never on a Wednesday, and never on a Friday. Loi badu Pesach. Loi adu reish. Loi badu Pesach. That means Pesach is never on a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. Both rules are really, one rule follows the other. And here you have Rosh Hashanah, is on Friday, and then Simchas Torah is never on a Shabbos, in Chutz La'aretz, and Yom Kippur is never on a Sunday, and Purim is never on a Monday, and Shavuos Pesach is never on a Tuesday. Okay, so all of those rules will plug right in, because all of these days just follow each other. Now, which leads us to another interesting point, and that is, if we go back to the four types of years of Rosh Hashanah, we can now understand it's not that often that Erev Pesach occurs on a Shabbos. Right? And it's also, you never notice, it's not that often that Purim is never on a Friday. Why is that? First of all, they're the same rate. In other words, whenever Erev Pesach is a Shabbos, that same year, Purim is going to be on a Friday. And those years are relatively infrequent. It happened in 1974, 1977, 1981, 1994, 2001, 2005, 2008. Okay? Which means you have three times in a decade, which is relatively very rare in our decade now. Then it doesn't happen until 2021. So we're going to go after 2008. We're going to go 13 years without it happening. Then it's going to happen in 2025. Then it's going to happen in 2045. We're going to go actually 20 years between 2025 and 2045, unless Mashiach comes and there's a setup, there's a Hashem. But for those of you who remember, for those of you who are a little bit older, you will note that between 1954 and 1974, it never happened. So if you ask women in their 60s or 70s, and you say, do you remember Pesach on Shabbos and that whole complicated, they'll tell you, well, no, because as a balabasta, it never happened to me, because in 1954, I was a kallah, didn't make Pesach, and it didn't happen until 20 years later, because it was a 20-year gap. Why is it so infrequent? So based on our Moilad rules, and this is, I'm not going to give you all the rules, but just basic is as follows, without getting into the Tchias. But under normal circumstances, if the Moilad occurs on a Wednesday or Thursday, what day of the week is Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah will be on a Thursday. Right? Because if the Moilad is on a Thursday, then Rosh Hashanah is Thursday. If the Moilad is on a Wednesday, then Rosh Hashanah is pushed off to Thursday. Right? Okay, and again, we're going to see a little bit of exceptions to this later. Some hours are going to get chopped off. But this is just round figures here. Next, if the Moilad occurs on a Friday or a Shabbos, what day of the week will Rosh Hashanah be? Shabbos, right? The Moilad is on Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos. If the Moilad is on Friday, then Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos. Okay, good. Next, if the Moilad is on Sunday or Monday, then when is Rosh Hashanah? Monday. Because it can't be Sunday, why I do Rosh? It can't be Sunday, and if it's an effort, push off to Monday. If the Moilad is on a Monday, Rosh Hashanah is on Monday. That'll be Monday. Now, if the Moilad is on a Tuesday, when is Rosh Hashanah? Tuesday. If the Moilad is on Wednesday, then Vayikra's Thursday. Which means, statistically, it comes out that for Rosh Hashanah to be on a Thursday, it's a 2 in 7 chance. Because remember, the Moilad is just going around the week. Statistically, could come out at any moment during the week. Again, it's moving along at the rate of 354, 8 hours, and so on, or moving along in the number in a leap year. But theoretically, it's moving along at random. It's not random, but it's not any set thing that says, okay, everyone gets a turn. That's not how it works. It hits this time, then bounces to the next time, and it can hit theoretically any point in time. That's why there's no precision here, where precision is the wrong word. It could come out theoretically any day of the week. Now, 2 in 7. For Rosh Hashanah to be on a Monday, there's a 2 in 7 chance. What are the odds of Rosh Hashanah being on a Tuesday? It's only 1 in 7. Right? And when we learn the Tchias, we're going to see that it's even less than this, because we're going to start cutting some hours off, and it's going to be less than a 1 in 7 chance. Which means that for Rosh Hashanah to be on a Tuesday, it's only a 1 in 7 chance, which is 14%, and it's, again, as I said, it's even less than that, versus the other days of the week, where I had a 2 in 7 chance, which means I have double the chance of Rosh Hashanah being on a Thursday, Shabbos, or Monday, than a Tuesday. And therefore, now let's go back to our Atbash chart, and say that, well, if Rosh Hashanah is on a Tuesday, which was the third day of Pesach, Gimel Reish, that means Aleph Pesach was on a Sunday. So that means for Erev Pesach, for Pesach to be on a Sunday is only a 1 in 7 chance, rounded off, versus the other days of the week, which are much more opportunity. Now again, that doesn't mean 2 out of every 7 years you're going to have this. In fact, we are currently in the biggest dry spell of Pesach. In fact, we are in the biggest dry spell between any 2 years, as I said, is 20 years. Between Pesach being on any one of these four types of years, the biggest dry spell you could ever have is a 20-year gap between Pesach on a Rosh Hashanah on a Tuesday and Rosh Hashanah on a Tuesday. Like I said, 1954 to 1974, 2025 to 2045. That's just, it keeps missing. In other words, it keeps going year to year and it keeps missing this opportunity over and over and over again. It can't go more than 20 years. We happen to be in the biggest dry spell right now. Other than this 20-year dry spell, the biggest possible dry spell ever is Pesach being on a Shabbos, and that's a 14-year gap. Between 1998 and 2012, Pesach does not come out on a Shabbos. If you've noticed, right, the first day of Pesach was never Shabbos. We have all sorts of issues that come up with that. That means the last day of Pesach is a Shabbos, so that means laning gets off with Eretz Yisrael, which we have now with Shavuos, but Pesach, we haven't had it since 98. We won't have until 2012. And if you do the Atbash, you'll see that Pesach, Rosh Hashanah is on a Monday. That means Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Sukkot, that's a Gespakah year for people who work. That means Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Pesach, Hashanah Rabbah is a Sunday. Hasn't happened, won't happen for a while. Shavuos is on a Sunday. You know, that's also Gishmak, because you can sleep Shabbos, right? And then you're up, you know, you rest before Shavuos. Very Gishmak. Hasn't happened since 98, won't happen until 2012. Why? Because that's all simply by these statistical bouncing around. Now, one other thing I want to mention about the Atbash is that if your birthday or any other day, Hebrew day, falls out anywhere in between Adar and Cheshvan, then your birthday will fall out on 4 days of the week and won't fall out on 3 days of the week. In other words, we set a rule, Loi Adu Rosh. That means Rosh Hashanah is never, that means the third day of Pesach is never on those 3 days. We can also subtract a day and say, what about Shavuos? Well, if Lay Adu Reish, which means Lay Adu the third day of Pesach, that means the second day of Pesach will be Lay this minus one. What's Vav minus one? What's Dalet minus one? Is Gimel. What's Vav minus one? Is Hey. What's Aleph minus one? Is Zion. Lay Gohaz Shavuos. Which means Shavuos will never be on a Tuesday, Thursday, or Shabbos. And Pesach, as we said, is one minus that, Loi Badu Pesach. And I can take Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is very interesting. Simchas Torah is Loi, add one, Beis, Dalet plus one is Hey, Vav plus one is Zion. How ironic it is that Simchas Torah will never fall out on a day that we lay. Right? It's never on Monday, Thursday, or Shabbos. I mean, we lay always. But the day of the week will never be a laying day. Beis, Hey, Zion. It will never fall out on any of those days. This day happens to also be the rule for Erev Yom Kippur, right? Because the fifth day of Pesach is Yom Kippur. That means the fourth day. Since the start of Erev Yom Kippur, always the same day of the week. Erev Yom Kippur is never on a Monday, Thursday, or Shabbos, which is very good because someone was mekabel to fast, right? It's halacha. If you mekabel to fast every Monday and Thursday, you'll never have a problem Erev Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to fast, right? It'll never happen. So, like Bohas, you'll never lay in Erev Yom Kippur. That's the bottom line. And if your birthday is Beis Tishrei, it's the same rule. And if your birthday is a week before Beis Tishrei, whatever that day is, and a week before that, it all falls into place. So what this would be, Yud Ches Nisan, Chafei Nisan. If you were born on Chafei Nisan, you'll never lay on your birthday. Because it always will never fall out on those days. Kahina v'kahena, Gimel, Vav, Aleph, that's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur will never be on a Tuesday, Friday, or Sunday. Purim will never be on a Dalet, Zion, or Beis. And the seventh day will never be on a Hay, Aleph, or Gimel. Which, by the way, the seventh day of Pesach has an interesting phenomenon, and that is Aleph of and Aleph Adar will fall out of the same day of the week as the seventh day of Pesach. They are the only two first days of the month that in any given Hebrew year will fall out of the same day of the week. Which is also interesting, because there's a famous halacha, Kishem Shemini Shenitnas Av B'matah B'Simcha, Kach Mishenitnas Adar Marbe B'Simcha, they always start on the same day of the week. Always. This year, it's a Wednesday.
In the same year.
In the same Hebrew year, they are the only two first days of the month in a given Hebrew year that will always, in any given year, be the same day of the week. Now, you'll always have two the same day of the week, because it's 12 months of the year, so two Alephs have to be the same day, but you'll never have, every single year, no matter what, the first of these, and we're talking about other Asamach from the Nisan, will work out in that life. Okay, so that is how the days of the week work, how the Ad Fast works. Just to complete this topic, I keep mentioning, you see, Kislev is unique because it has that 29-30 title, and therefore the rule of Kislev is very simple. The days of Kislev will only not fall out on one day of the week. In other words, from Adar through Cheshvan, it will fall out 4 days, will not fall out 3 days. Likely on the Rosh and so on. Kislev will only be 1 day of the week, it won't be. And that is, Aleph Kislev is never on a Shabbos. That's it, it could be every other day of the week. Which means Beis Kislev is never a Sunday, Gimel Kislev is never on a Monday, and so on. That's why Hanukkah, which is Chaf Hei Kislev, if you do the math, Chaf Beis Kislev is never on a Shabbos, so that means 3 days later will never be on a Tuesday. So that's why Hanukkah, first night of Hanukkah, will fall on any night of the week except a Monday night. And all of this is an offshoot of the Lo Yadurosh, just in a little bit of a different way. Some people say there's a minhag by some rabbis to give Hanukkah gelt on the fifth night of Hanukkah. How'd that happen? Because what day of the week will the fifth night of Hanukkah never be? Chavtes, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. The fifth night of Hanukkah is never on a Shabbos. So if you give the fifth night of Hanukkah, it always works. Right? Finally, Teves and Shvat will not fall out on 2 days of the week. And they are Aleph Teves is never on a Shabbos, and Yud Teves is never on a Shabbos. That's how I remember this rule, which means that if Yud Teves is never on a Shabbos, so that means that Aleph Teves, therefore, is never on a Thursday. Okay, and then you do the math after that. So Aleph Teves is never on a Thursday or a Shabbos. And then again, Beis Teves is never on a Friday or a Sunday. Gimel Teves is never on a Shabbos or a Monday. You go all the way through Shvat, and now, basically, you have every day of the week that works. And if you look at the chart on page number 10, you'll see that if you go to Rosh Chodesh Shvat, you'll go through and see what day of the week it could be. It'll never be on a Sunday, and it'll never be on a Friday. Because again, that's an offshoot of this rule. In other words, Aleph Teves is never on a Thursday or a Shabbos, so that means Chavtes Teves is never on a Thursday or a Shabbos, so Aleph Shvat is never on a Friday or a Shabbos. Okay? And so on and so forth. Again, it just fits right in, just mathematically fits right in. Fine. Now, next I want to talk about are the Tchiyas. So we've mentioned numerous times Lo Yadurosh. Why do we say Lo Yadurosh? So the answer is as follows. Lo Yadurosh means Rosh Hashanah is never on a Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. Why not? The reason is as follows. If Rosh Hashanah would be on a Dalet, then Yom Kippur would be on a Erev Shabbos, on a Friday. And if Rosh Hashanah was on a Vav, was on an Erev Shabbos, Yom Kippur would be on a Sunday. Yom Kippur is a unique day, different than all of Yom Tovim. It's Shabbos Shabbos, there's the same halachas of Shabbos, there's no cooking, there's no Kuras Meis, unlike other Yom Tovim where Kuras Meis, on the first day of Yom Tov, one is allowed to bury a Meis, Al Yidei Amamin, and on the second day of Yom Tov, which means Goyim can bury a Meis, and on the second day of Yom Tov is Al Yidei Yisrael. Yom Kippur is like Shabbos, you can't do anything. The only difference is the Einish, right? The punishment is different. Otherwise, Yom Kippur is like Shabbos, that's why there's six Aliyos Yom Kippur, it's a step up from Yom Tov. So the Gemara Shara tells us that if Yom Kippur would fall out on a Friday or Sunday, it would come out basically 2 days of Shabbos in a row. So the Gemara says, Mishum Yarka, Mishum Masya. One Masya means we won't be able to bury a mace for 2 days. Picture someone, let's say Yom Kippur is on Friday, someone is Nifter just as Yom Kippur is beginning on Thursday afternoon. It's going to come out of Bizei HaMeis, because let's say the Meis will decay, and it's hot, and there's no way to bury the Meis, even Al Yidei Amamin. So for the Bizei HaMeis, we want to avoid Yom Kippur falling out on a Friday, and of course Sunday would be the same thing. Someone's Nifter, right, the Shabbos is the beginning, you can't bury them until after Yom Kippur. 2 days, we don't want to have such a thing, and therefore it's pushed off. Yarka is cooking, because the vegetables are going to wilt. Therefore, you're going to have a case where you can't cook the vegetables because it's 2 days of Yontif, and therefore it's a problem. A more, I guess, the Gab's Marazeh problem would be, how would you bench licht? Right? If Yom Kippur is on a Friday, how would your wife bench licht Friday afternoon for Shabbos? She couldn't because it's Yom Kippur. And if Yom Kippur was on a Sunday, how would you bench licht for Yom Kippur? Again, it's more of a minig. There's not a reason for the takana, but it's just an illustration of the complications of 2 days of Shabbos in a row, and therefore we push it off. What does it mean we push it off? That means if the money was on a Wednesday, we say because of Yom Kippur, push it off to Thursday. So what ultimately happens is that we take, if the Mailin of Rosh Hashanah is on a Wednesday, that will cause Yom Kippur on a Shabbos, so we say we're not going to do that. We're going to make Yom Kippur Rosh Hashanah on a Thursday, which is going to push off Yom Kippur to be a Shabbos. So that's really what we're doing. And now, how does that work? What do you mean we push it off? So if you remember the rule that we spoke about, how do we command the calendar? We take the Mailin of this year, we take the Mailin of next year. And we say, how many days does this year need to be? Remember that in the first year we had that rule. Take the Mailin of this year, take the Mailin of next year, count the days. If you need 353, then make it a chaser, which means 29 and 29 and Cheshvan and Kislev. If it's a Kesidron, do this. If it's a Shalem, do this. So all we're doing is we say, okay, this year Rosh Hashanah is on so-and-so day. When is next Rosh Hashanah going to be? When's the Mailin? The Mailin is, let's say, on Wednesday. Technically, that means that year would have been a 354-year day. 354 days in the year. But because we can't have Rosh Hashanah on a Wednesday, we push off Rosh Hashanah to Thursday. So all that does is, it makes that year that you're talking about, right? In other words, you have year X plus 1. So year X should have been 354 days had Rosh Hashanah of year X plus 1 been on a Wednesday. But it can't be on a Wednesday because Le'ad du Rosh, because it's going to mess up Yom Kippur. So we say, we're not going to have Rosh Hashanah on Wednesday. We're going to add a day to year X, which is going to push up Rosh Hashanah to Thursday. And now that's going to make the year X a 355-day year, which we can happily accommodate. And now it's a 355-day because I have that, you know, ability to bounce this way or that way, and therefore that is how the calendar works, and that is how Le'ad du Rosh works. Now, if the same problem is if the Mailin is on a Sunday, now remember, look at the ramifications of this are really astronomical. Because of this 355-day year instead of 354, that means that last year Kislev is going to be 30 days, Cheshvan is going to be 30 days instead of 29 days. So everything gets pushed up. Purim is pushed up a day, and Pesach is pushed up a day, maybe your birthday is pushed up a day. Everything is a day of the week later, simply to accommodate the upcoming Yom Kippur. We add a day this year, so that next Yom Kippur falls on the right day of the week. Next. Same thing, if the Mailin is on a Friday, we push Rosh Hashanah off to Shabbos, and that accommodates Yom Kippur instead of being Sunday. Yom Kippur is now on a Monday. Now, why can't Rosh Hashanah be on a Sunday? The reason Rosh Hashanah cannot be on a Sunday, well, if Rosh Hashanah is on a Sunday, then Yom Kippur is on a Tuesday. So what's wrong with that? There is nothing wrong with that. The problem is, if Rosh Hashanah is on a Sunday, Hashanah Rabbah, which is going to be on a Shabbos. And therefore, you're not going to be able to take the Aravos. Fractisus in Sukkah Daf Mem Vav, or Daf Mem Gimel. I, Lechaira, I don't understand. You're worried about Hashanah Rabbah, you can't take the Shabbos and clap him. And Shabbos, this year, Rosh Hashanah is on a Shabbos. So Shaifer, we say, okay, don't worry about Shaifer. You won't blow Shaifer, big deal. But for Shabbos, we got to change the whole calendar for that. Right? What are we doing here? Let's look at the significance of what's happening. For the mitzvah of which a minig neviim of Hashanahs, so that I can pick up those Hashanahs and Hashanah Rabbah and clap them, what did Chazal do? Well, they said like this. The Mailin of Tishrei fell out on a Sunday. And the year should have been maybe a 354-day year. And therefore, if Rosh Hashanah would have been a Sunday, let's just play this out here, that means Purim Pesach would have been on a Friday. And that means Purim would have been on a Wednesday. Okay? Pesach would be on a Friday, and Rosh Hashanah would be on a Sunday, and Shavuos would be on a Shabbos. We'd have all of this happen. But we can't do this, because we got to take the Shabbos. So what do? We take the 354-day year, and we make it a 355-day year. That the truth is, it might have been a 353 that we're making a 354. Both are true. I just gave one example. And we push everything up. That means we push the following Rosh Hashanah to Monday. That means we push Shavuos to Sunday. That means we push Pesach to Shabbos. And we push Purim to Thursday. So an entire year, right? All those months, everything is a day later. Why? So that Hashanah Rabbah coming up won't have that. It's interesting that that's the kayach of Hashanahs. Has the ability to do that, and it's interesting that, you know, all of Klal Yisrael has the same calendar, no matter what denomination. You know, Baruch Hashem, even those who are not necessarily Shem Torah Mitzvahs, they Baruch Hashem didn't split on the calendar. They use the same calendar. It's interesting that the longest of that whole calendar is for this little drabbanon. It shows you the chashivas of the drabbanon, and that's really Taisus's teretz. Taisus says, so why do I care about shofar more than Hashanahs? The teretz is two teretz. One teretz is, which I'm trying to say, Haskell, is that if we push off, if we skip a year of Hashanah Rabbah, and it falls on a Shabbos, so next year everyone's going to come to shul and say, by Oz the minhag is not to take a Shabbos. We didn't do it last year. All the you know, Gainim are going to come along and say, we don't do it here. And you're going to say, but we do, you don't understand, let's see with a Shabbos. No, it's not the minhag by us. It's a chassidish minhag, you know. We don't do that. So Chazal were afraid. But shofar, what, someone's going to come, Rosh Hashanah is a Shabbos, so next year someone's going to come along and say, you don't pull shofar, and you pull out a chumash, and you see there's a pasuk chumash. So no one's, a deraita will never forget, a derabbanon. Chazal were afraid that it would be nishtakach, and therefore they said, don't mess around. So it's just interesting that the whole luach, that whole year is pushed off for a simple din derabbanon, which again shows you the importance of derabbanon. The other terrors is that Rosh Hashanah won't be nishtakach because you have a second day, so at least you'll end up blowing shofar. Mashenkei Hashanah Rabbah, it's the Shabbos, you don't have any day to make it up. The next day is Shaseris, so you're going to take it a day early, it's too early. Doesn't, won't work. And therefore, Chazal made sure Rosh Hashanah and not, Rosh Hashanah could be Shabbos, but Rosh Hashanah Rabbah cannot. That is the rule of Ladder Rosh. There are three other Tachiyas, and they are as follows. The second Tachiyah is called Mailat Zakeh Bal Tidrash, which means as follows. The Mailat Zakeh literally means an old Mailat. Very simple rule. The reason is a little more complicated, but the rule is simple. And that is, the rule says, if the Mailat falls out at 12 noon or later, then Rosh Hashanah is pushed off to the next day. Which means, if the Mailat fell out at 12 noon, or 1 p.m., or 2 p.m., or 3 p.m., on a Monday afternoon, then it's too late to make Rosh Hashanah that day, and therefore, it's pushed off to Tuesday, to the next day. Now, you could have two tchiyas already. If the Mailat is on Shabbos afternoon at 1 o'clock, then it's pushed off to the next day, which is Sunday. But Le'adu Reish says, Rosh Hashanah cannot be on a Sunday, so it's pushed off to Monday. So therefore, you can have a Mailat on a Shabbos afternoon with Rosh Hashanah on a Monday. That's why, if you notice, in the Luach sometimes, the Mailat runs different than the day of Rosh Chodesh because of this rules like this. You can have a Mailat on a Shabbos afternoon, and Rosh Hashanah is not till Monday, because of the rule of Mailat Zakeh. Now, this rule of Mailat Zakeh only applies, as we'll explain a little bit later, only applies to Rosh Hashanah. It does not apply to the other Rosh Chodesh, which is a little. The Itam Labina asks a kash on this, because if you see the reasons, L'Chairish apply it to any Rosh Chodesh. And I'm going to get to that in a moment. What is the reason for this? According to Rashi, it's a Pashut region, but the more Pashut region. And that is, according to Rashi, Rashi learned that it takes 6 hours to see the Mailat. Right? So, Bazai, if it takes 6 hours, we're trying to emulate, had there been a Sanhedrin now, and when you had Adam come and saw the new moon, we would declare Rosh Chodesh. But if the Mailat falls out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, on, let's say, a Monday afternoon, so had there been a Sanhedrin, they would have never seen the Mailat, because it takes 6 hours. They would see it 9 o'clock tonight. 9 o'clock tonight's already tomorrow. So therefore, Rosh Hashanah is postponed, so to speak, until Tuesday, because it wouldn't have happened. You couldn't have possibly seen it. But if the Baal occurs at 11:59 a.m. and 17 Halakim, which is the last moment before noon, then look, 6 hours later, it's still 5:59, and technically it would be visible. Now, you can ask them, they got to go to Beis Din, they got to get Yishuv Keirah. Okay, that's good enough. Good enough that it could have been seen. The Baal HaMa'or learns a different shot. In the Baal HaMa'or, this is the Baal HaMa'or of Masechet Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chav, and he fits it into the Sugya. And again, this Baal HaMa'or is the Makor of the International Dateline. And I'll explain to you how the Baal HaMa'or fits in the concept of Baal HaZaken. He says as follows. The Baal HaMa'or says it takes 24 hours to see the new moon. Right? It takes 24 hours. Could be, even though nowadays we see it quicker, could be the Baal HaMa'or understood that he wanted the Baal HaMa'or Shita in the Metzius of at least today. First we come on to the Shtana Teva, but number two is we can say the Baal HaMa'or said, maybe you can see it after 16, 17 hours, but we want it to be, practically speaking, when would Adam see this to get a good view? At 16 hours, that's on the best conditions, that's with the right place, that's rarely going to happen. 24 hours already is shchiach to see it. That's a gazum to moon. It's much more likely, and therefore that's why Chazal used 24 hours. So, Zakta Baal HaMa'or as follows. It takes 24 hours to see the moon. We need to be able to see the moon on Rosh Chodesh in order to call Rosh Chodesh that day. But, as you'll say, what 24 hours means, the Baalot should be today, Rosh Chodesh should be tomorrow. As long as somebody in the world can see this new moon, that's good enough to call Rosh Chodesh. On that day of Rosh Chodesh, that's good enough. Zok the Baal HaMa'or as follows. Yerushalayim is here. If you go 6 hours east of Yerushalayim, right, and if you want to see a map of this, you could turn to our International Dateline Yeshiva's chart, which is on page number 11. It's a map of the world. What's that? Take a look at this chart. We, as you know, we have what's called latitude degrees. By convention, 0 degrees runs through London, England, Greenwich, right? That's 0 degrees. But you can really draw that line anywhere. In fact, it was Lucidatus as to where to draw that line. The French wanted it through France. And the British won it through London. The British won out. This is in the 19th century. Now, the world, of course, goes around 360 degrees. So you have, again, let's just look at from a secular here, I'm just saying what the Metzius is. Very simple is that you have Greenwich, which is 0 degrees. You have 180 degrees to the east. You have 180 degrees to the west. And at every 24 hours, the sun goes all the way around, which means that every hour, the sun moves 15 degrees. So, if the sun is over Greenwich at 12 noon, an hour later, it's over 15 degrees west. And then another hour later, it's over 30 degrees. An hour later, it's over 45 degrees, and so on and so forth. Philadelphia is 75 degrees west of Greenwich. That's why Philadelphia is 5 hours later, or earlier than London. Because the sun gets there 5 hours later, and we're in the Eastern time zone, so we follow Philadelphia. This is a separate schmooze as to how time zones work. But the bottom line is you have 24 hours around the globe. That means, if in Yerushalayim it's 12 noon, if I go 90 degrees to the east, which is also known as 6 hours, in other words, where if it's noon in Yerushalayim, where is it 6 hours, where is it 6 p.m., well, you'll go a quarter of the way around the globe, right? Because if you go 24 hours around the globe, you come back home. If you go 12 hours around, you're on the other side of the world. If you go 6 hours around, you're a quarter of the way around. So line A, which is 35.2 degrees east of Greenwich, is line A. If you go to line B, then that's 125.2 degrees east of Yerushalayim. It is a line that runs through Australia and China. To be precise, it runs through the city of Rawalina, Australia, and Changchun, China. That's where that line goes through. That line is 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. It is 6 hours later than Yerushalayim. So it's 12 in Yerushalayim, it's 6 p.m. over there. The Baal HaMa'or calls this line the Kaseh HaMizrach. which means the easternmost point, which of course means that on the other side of that line, we could call, the Rambam doesn't use a flusher, but to say Amiris, is the furthest west point. That means he said, according to the Baal HaOr, when it's 12 noon on, let's say, Monday, in Yerushalayim, near HaKadosh, at this line, it's going to be 6 p.m. At the Ksei HaMizrach, it's 6 p.m. on Monday. Which means on the other side of the line, it's going to be 6 p.m. Sunday. Because as the Ksei HaMizrach, if we have a globe here, we would go this direction, and we would see that over Europe it's 10 a.m. on Monday, and it's 9 a.m. over Ireland, and it's 7 a.m. over Philadelphia, and 6 a.m. over St. Louis, and 5 a.m. over and so on. I made a mistake here. This is noon in Yerushalayim. It's going to be 5 a.m. over Baltimore, 4 a.m. over St. Louis, 3 a.m. over Denver, 2 a.m. over L.A., and so on, until finally it's going to be Sunday night. You come all the way to Hawaii, and it's going to be, you know, 11 p.m. or whatever in Hawaii, and you come to this point where it's 6 p.m. Sunday. This, now, the Baal HaOr doesn't mention the international date line, but right away, once you define the Ksei HaMizrach as being 6 hours east, that's the furthest east point. That means you go 18 hours west, that's the furthest west point. That means that this is going to be what's known as the international date line, according to the Baal HaOr. And that is the basis of a separate parsha of where the international dateline is. And if you look here, you see the different shitas. This is the text of El Chazon Ish. The Maisa, we go around land masses, which again I'm not going to get into. But the point of the Baal HaOr is as follows. It takes 24 hours to see the new moon. Okay? Now, let me step back a minute. Let's say the Maalot occurred at 11:59 a.m. on Monday. Okay? Rosh Hashanah could be, what day of the week is it?
Monday.
Why is it? Well, in Yerushalayim, they're not going to see this moon, technically, until 11:59 a.m., theoretically. It's really not visible then, but we're talking theoretical now, until 11:59 on Tuesday. Which, of course, certainly means Rosh Hashanah should be on a Tuesday. So why is Rosh Hashanah on a Monday? The Tarets is, at this location, when it's 11:59 a.m. on Tuesday, what time, I'm sorry, when it's 11:59 a.m. on Monday, what time is it here? At the Ksei HaMizrach, it's 5:59 p.m. on Monday. Well, certainly it takes 24 hours for these guys to see it. They're not going to see it until late Tuesday afternoon. P.m. But on the other side of this line, where it's 18 hours earlier, right? What's 18 hours behind Yerushalayim? That's going to be 5:59 p.m. Sunday. Right? It's still halachically Sunday. Remember, 6 p.m. is the cutoff. That means these people standing right over here, which means on the eastern side of Rawalina, Australia, right, which is 18 hours behind Eretz Yisrael, they are going to see this 24 hours later. What time is it then? They're going to see the new moon at 5:59 p.m. on Monday. That means somebody in the world could see this new moon on Monday. So Rosh Chodesh is on Monday. Because someone potentially could see the new moon. And we don't care if he's in Yerushalayim, we don't care if he's in Baghdad, we don't care if he's in Baltimore, we don't care if he's in Rawalina. It makes no difference. Somebody where it's right here, right now, Monday, has the potential to see the new moon. And theoretically, if there'd be a Beis Din, could now say, Mekudesh, Mekudesh, that means potentially Rosh Hashanah could be on Monday. So Rosh Hashanah is on a Monday because the moment was 11:59, even in 17 Chalakim. 11 a.m. and 1,079 Chalakim, the last second before noon, it's good enough. However, if the Maalot occurs a minute later, the Maalot occurs at noon on Monday, that's only 1 minute later, so now the Ksei HaMizrach, it's already 6 p.m. Monday. The other side of the Ksei HaMizrach, it's 6 p.m. Sunday. They won't see the new moon until 6 p.m. Monday. 6 p.m. Monday is already halachically Tuesday. So Rosh Hashanah can't be on Monday because no one in the world will ever be able to see this moon on Monday. It's not shaykh. They won't see it until Tuesday. Rosh Hashanah is on Tuesday. And instead of Monday, we could have put it Wednesday, or we could have put it Tuesday. No one will see it on Tuesday, right? If the Milo is at noon on Tuesday, no one will see this moon until Wednesday. So Rosh Hashanah is pushed off to Wednesday. Well, the right, Rosh Hashanah is pushed off till Thursday. And so on and so forth. That is the rule of Milo Zakeh. Again, very simply put, if the Milo is at noon or later, it's pushed off till tomorrow. If tomorrow is Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday, it's pushed off another day. Now, the Itan Levine, as I mentioned, points out that this rule is only relates to Rosh Hashanah. Theoretically, according to the Hesber that we're giving, it really should apply to any month. Because any month, you had a Milo come. But on very rare occasions, this rule is broken. You look at Sefer Itan Levine, which was written in the 19th century, on page 67, he says as follows. He says, theoretically, the Milad of Kislev could be as late as 1:28 in the afternoon on Rosh Chodesh. And he says the latest possible could be Rosh Chodesh Shvat, could be at 5:23 p.m. and 8 Chalakim in the afternoon. And let's say it's a Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh would be on Shabbos. Which is a fascinating thing. That means that's the latest Milad. That means, imagine on Shabbos Mevarchim announcing the Milad Bet Zayin next Shabbos afternoon. Right? Next Shabbos afternoon at 5:23 p.m. What's schwer, and I tried to figure this out, is that might even be after Shkia, even. Which means you have a Heki Timsa where the Milad, forget about when you actually see the moon. You theoretically have this he says a fascinating insight, is that if the Milad occurs that late, that means the Milad of Tishrei is occurring on Bei Shvat. Right? If the Milad will be 5:23, it's the winter time, then technically it's occurring on the night of Bei Shvat. Forget about when you saw the moon, when the realistically Metzias has happened. Lamaisa, he says, that's the way Chazal were Kaveya in. The Iker is Rosh Hashanah, and even though technically within a month, he says V'mirtz Hashem v'shnas tof reish samach beis habal leinu l'toiva, which is 1902. Shvat, Rosh Chodesh Shvat was at 4:45 and 7 chalakim, where it actually happened. The latest that I was able to find was in the year 1248. Rosh Chodesh Shvat was at 5:20. That's again, in theory, it could be as late as 5:23 and chalakim. In the Metzias, in the year 1248, the Milad of Shvat was at 5:20 p.m. on Shabbos afternoon, and Rosh Chodesh was on that day. In the year, the next time it happens will be in the year 2071, which is 65 years from now. You can do the math how old you'll be. Habalei L'Taiva, and it will occur at 3:21 p.m. on Rosh Chodesh Shvat also. And that's if you sit and do the math, you'll come out with a probably have a very late Milad that works its way through the system, and that is when the Milad happened. The only advantage of such a late Milad, of course, is Kiddush Levana, which we're going to talk about. What I want to finish up on is just introduce the last two Tzitzis. It is clear that these Tzitzis, there's some historians that wanted to claim that these Tzitzis were really made later, independent, and that is, in order for the calendar to work, you have to have these last two dechias also. Whereas the first two dechias were reasons standing on their own, which means, like, I don't want Rosh Hashanah to be on these days, because Yom Kippur, or the Metzias of the Milad. The following two dechias are simply to make the calendar work. And they're to explain barichas is complicated, but they're very simple to explain. One is called Get Rei. Get Rei stands for Gimel Test Reish Dalet, which is 3-9-204. Remember our Milad notation? We said, and this is simply, right, 3-9-204. This means if the Milad occurs on a Tuesday at the ninth hour, which is 3 a.m., and 204 Chalakim, which is 12, 13 minutes, whatever the number is, and it's the Shana Pshuta, then Rosh Hashanah, now technically, based on everything we learned till now, when Rosh Hashanah?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Until 3:18, Zero Rosh Hashanah should be on a Tuesday. Right? Remember, 318 is noon on Tuesday. Oh, I understand Rosh Hashanah has to be pushed up. But if Rosh Hashanah is at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m., 11 a.m., what's the big deal? Rosh Hashanah should be on Tuesday. Zoch Chazal is a Shana Pshuta, which means a non-leap year. We move Rosh Hashanah up to Thursday. Can't move it to Wednesday, let out the rush. You got to move to Thursday, which, by the way, remember I mentioned earlier that if Rosh Hashanah is rarely on a Tuesday, right? If Rosh Hashanah is rarely on a Tuesday because it's only one in a seven chance, this rule makes it even less frequent. Because this rule says if it's from 3 a.m. and to somebody chalakim, it's not Tuesday either, which means we've just narrowed the ability for Rosh Hashanah to be on a Tuesday. If you want to look at the exact numbers on one of the charts, it has it tells you how often the 247 years. I'm going to get to why this rule is in not till next week, but the second rule, the last of the tchiyos, is what's called betu hakpat achar ha'ibur, and that means if the mailat occurs at 2:15. 589 after a leap year, Rosh Hashanah is pushed off to Tuesday. Now here, Tuesday gets a little bit back, a little bit. But look how infrequent this is going to happen. If the Maila is on Monday at the 15th hour, 589 Chalakim, right? So then Rosh Hashanah should have been on a Monday, but instead it's pushed off to Tuesday. This rule really only applies. If it fell at 2:18, it would anyway have been pushed off, because it's afternoon. This is about 9 a.m., 9:30 a.m. or so. So if the milah occurs between 9:30 and noon on a Monday, after an Ibriyar, Rosh Hashanah is pushed off to Tuesday. It's pushed off to Tuesday, so Tuesday gains. This rule is very rare. It's only happened about 11 times since calendars began, and this year, Tavshin Samach Vav that we are in is one of the only times it occurred in the last since the calendar was kavua. In Mitzvah Hashem, next week we're going to elaborate on this, and I'll chazer quickly just the tchias of when they happen. I'll give examples of all of them, but the ikar reason of these is to make sure there's enough days in the year, the proper number of days. And we'll see next time, to facilitate this, you have to push off Rosh Hashanah. All this rule says is this Rosh Hashanah becomes on Thursday, and in this case Rosh Hashanah is on Tuesday. That's why this past Rosh Hashanah is on Tuesday, and that's why last year Pesach was on a Sunday, because of this rule. Okay, and again, it's rarely implemented. And Mitzvah Hashem, next time we'll pick up with these two rules. As I said, if you want to read about those rules, I wrote an article on this, and there were some copies. And if you want to read ahead, I don't know if I made enough, but there are this article discusses these rules, the Kitzer.